see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. We got a great episode, as always, ahead of us today. You probably wonder, Hack, why aren't you doing the hate mail anymore? Because I told you, fine folks, voice notes or bust. That's it. We're only doing voice notes when it comes to the hate mail. You got something to say? It doesn't have to be just hate mail. Let's call it the old kitty cat corner. The old kitty, meow, you know, where you can come in and meow it up. You got questions, you got concerns, you got problems in your personal life. You got something that you just want to get off your chest. Send us a voice note, a voice recording, unclehack@dangercats.tv. We'll cover it on the show. All right, upcoming dates. This weekend, we are in Toronto, Ontario, April 5th. With none other than Brian Holdsman, April 11th. We're in Hinton, Alberta, April 12th. We're in Rocky Mountain. That date got changed. I am reading an old list. We're failing on this show, and we fail hard. April 11th in Hinton, April 13th in Drayton Valley, April 21st. We are in Dallas, Texas, April 26th. We are in Austin, Texas, May 3rd and 4th. Thunder Bay, Ontario, May 11th. We are in Lloydminster, Alberta at the Vic Juba, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wow, these guys are really doing it. They're doing a theater. Oh, boy. On a university campus from Amasa. We're heading on over there to Lloydminster, Alberta. Now, is it on the Alberta side or Saskatchewan side? Who gives a shit at this point? Why do we even care? Why are we arguing? It's the border city. Just show up and tell your stupid jokes, you moron. There's other dates in there, too. I forgot to fill in the list. We're falling apart on the show. What's new? Why do we care? I don't know, right? Frustrations are building up over time. We're going to discuss the carbon tax. It's implemented now here in Canada. Ever since April 1st, you know, people came out to in droves across highways as I was driving home from my flight back from Ottawa, which we'll discuss that weekend. And then the big story this week, this is a fun one. A court case is now deciding on whether or not the Ontario health insurance should pay for this individual to keep their penis, but also get vagina surgery, which I don't know. I don't know how to keep up with this stuff. You know, I don't. I read it and then I say, well, that's a nice talking point for the podcast. Maybe we'll solve it on here, you know? But first things first, we are out in Ottawa, Ontario. It started out rocky. I got to say, we had an alternate location that was supposed to take the show. Then the shows have gotten some controversy surrounding them. As you may have heard, if you're new here, welcome to the shit show. This little thing that we get up to causes a little bit of waves, a little bit of turbulence here in the country of Canada. Now, do they care about it in America? I think they just point and laugh and be like, wow, Canadians are really dumber than we thought. And that's unfortunate, you know. It is unfortunate because these same events take place in America, but because we're such a small country in such a dense land that the I guess loud minority gets heard a little bit more, you know? And whether that is like true on it is a loud minority or are they a majority, I don't know. It depends what study or what fucking poll you're going at or what you're looking at on Twitter. You know, you go to your conservative page and be like, how gay is Trudeau? And it's like, it's very gay or not really that gay. It's like 100% think he's gay. Like, no shit. Your whole fucking audience is literally you. They follow you because they like you. Then you put out a button, then see the whole country hates them. It's just a mess up here. It is a full-blown mess. You know, like I said, we get out into Ottawa, and it was just a gong show from the get-go, you know, and I like to be truthful on this show to as best as I can without spilling the beans too much, you know, to the degree of where is it entertaining and where is it just like, all right, okay, you're that family member at dinner that you're just rolling your eyes at like, oh God, he's still talking about this. And I'm becoming that slowly. I want to be that annoying uncle that all of you wish that somebody would finally take out to pasture and put a bullet in. That's what I'm gunning to be. That's what the show is slowly turning into, is just a whiny, bitchy moron. And I'll admit, all day, every day, I admit that I'm a moron. The fact that the news is clipping this podcast and putting it on national television blows my mind. That anybody comes here for any sort of, you know, we're going to learn something today. We're not learning anything. This is sheer entertainment. You come here to realize that, A, maybe I am not the dumbest person on this planet. That makes you feel better about yourself, right? That's the goal of this podcast, is to know that you walk this earth smarter than another human being. That is it. That's the goal of it all. And in the meantime, while we're doing that and achieving that goal, we just find articles to ramble and rant about, you know? And it's becoming very, very concerning that now we are becoming a story piece for the mainstream media up here in Canada. Like there isn't real problems taking place, you know? To look at us, these three idiots that are just trying to bop around the country and tell their stupid jokes, that they have now become a headline. And that t-shirt was a little insensitive, don't you think? What if that was your daughter? If that was my daughter, she would have been aborted. What are we talking about here? If that was my, there would be, what if that was your child? That problem would have been taken care of a long time. A pill would have took that thing out. You know, it's apples and oranges here. And I know, like, we're talking, we can't talk about abortion and equate that to that. But that's what I'm saying. When you ask me that question, that's like, well, it wouldn't get to there. It wouldn't even get to that point. So I don't know why, you know? And then that leads to venues across the country getting a little shaky, but as you've seen, like with the news pumps out there, there was hundreds of people in droves out there, and then we show you the actual footage that we got, and it's like 40, and that's being conservative, saying 40 people were out there. But I'm saying that's how the media creates this. Now, the issue is being put to the side. I want to talk about how the mainstream media drums it up. How they and why the distrust in them is so high. It's because of shit like this. Is now it's like in a perpetual cycle now is pumping out like, oh, these guys are bad, bad boys. Watch out for the bad boys coming into your town. You don't want the kitty cats. Imagine a news reporter looking themselves in the mirror and be like, I can't believe I have to report on a group called Danger Cats. What is happening here? Where did I go wrong? Hey, we got a big lead on a great story here, Karen. I don't know what her name was. Jill? Was it Jill? Jill, we got something and we're going to slide it across your desk. This is going to be a good one. You're going to want to cover this, okay? We need you to put your best effort into this story. There's these guys, pretty bad boys, made a t-shirt, okay? And they're like, okay, it made a t-shirt. All right, I'm on. What's the name of these guys? Danger Cats? I have to cover a band? They're a band? No, not a band. No. Comedians. You're telling me I have to cover comedians? I made a t-shirt about what? And I'm supposed, and there's outrage around it. Oh yeah, outrage. Where is it? In the streets? No. Online. Oh God. And what is the story? Well, they made a Picton t-shirt. Okay. I know. And I'm still talking about this. But then it leads into what I'm getting to, okay? I'm trying to be, I'm trying to capture your attention by being outlandish, by being very outspoken, very dumb with my take as well, you know? And that leads to this next portion of the story, which is venues then removing the shows. They put out a statement being like, these guys, they're white nationalists. Everybody's got their own angle to come at us. We're white nationalists now all of a sudden. Isn't that something? We are white nationalists on something that we didn't even drag race into, which is hilarious. Which we had to go and have a little discussion with Cafe de Cuff. We had to show up and just see, get to the bottom of it. You know, why did you write that? Why did you write these things about us? We just popped in. Not looking for any violence. No. We are not violent individuals. We're not looking for fist fights. We just want answers. That's all. And I think that that has become a lost portion of our being. And that's going, of our whole, you know, we don't seek the truth. Why do people write these things? And you show up there and you ask these questions. And then when you're confronted about it, you know, we hide behind these screens a lot of the time. And we want to say whatever comes to our mind. And that's fair. I get it. You know, you want to just talk shit. That's what the internet should be. But do it with an anime profile picture and a fake name, a pseudo name. Don't attach it to a business. What the hell is wrong with you? You know, shouldn't you be like bipartisan as a business owner? But everybody had to put their flag in the ground out there. Be like, we don't stand with the trucker convoy. It was like, if you were for the convoy, you got destroyed out in those parts. And we talked to many people out in Ottawa that expressed that to us at our shows that took place in Ottawa, still made the shows happen. Thank you to, you know what, if you know where the venue is and you came to the shows, you know that it happened, you know that it took place. We don't need to go further and put the name out there of where we were, but it was a tremendously much better venue. That's all that matters. Okay. That's all that matters. And the people that do put out this type of content, I guess, is it content or is it just like we're trying to grandstand that we're great people, that we cancel them as well so that way we don't lose any clientele? But then at the end of the statement that they made with this cafe, they're like, well, our business is failing. We don't know what to do. You know, we have to close down now for this weekend. And it's like, well, we would have brought these people. We're not trying to. These guys are white nationalists. They're racists. Like, can you calm down? And then when they're confronted about this, they get shaky and scared. And you just want to ask a question of like, why did you write that? Why did you say those things? Do you believe that we are that? I need you to leave now. That's what I mean. Like, we can't, like, the discourse that needs to take place so that way we can further ourselves as human beings just isn't taking place. And when you ask a simple question, why did you write that? People get terrified. They don't like to be confronted. Which is hilarious. And it even stems to the point of like, we're around other comedians this weekend. I won't name names. We ain't doxing on this show. But now comedians are to a place or in a place when, hold on. Comedians now, when we show up to venues, cannot associate with us because it's too terrifying. We had this one idiot, he comes up and be like, are you guys the Danger Cats guys? And he's got his hands up like we got guns pointed to his head, you know, like we're about to execute him John Wick style because he wants to confront us about something. And he comes in, hands up, I don't have any weapons on me, and proceeds to tell us, listen, I whatever you guys are doing, I don't want no part of it, okay? I don't want no part of it. I understand that the Jesse James gang is now in town and I don't want no part of it, sir. So please don't include. First off, the audacity for this idiot to think that we want to include him in our endeavors and our content and what we're up to and how we're filming things and covering the story as it unfolds. for him to think that somehow this dipshit that nobody's heard of, you know, just because his presence is available, that we would love you to be a part of our vlog. Please, good sir, do we need a goddamn opener? We need an MC of your stature. I understand that, you know, you have been at this game for quite some time and that nobody knows who the fuck you are. And the first thing we thought when we walked into this green room, good sir, is like, oh boy, do I wish that you could be a part of what we're doing. Because we don't know who you are. But my, oh my, your name's outside on the front. Was that your, now that we've met, that's your name on the marquee out there saying that you're the MC tonight? Boy, oh boy. Pleasure to meet you, sir. Would you like to take a photo with us? No, I just told you. But that's it. The fear these comics have of us is hilarious. The fact that he had to mention that blew my mind. We're sitting there. We were dumbfounded. This guy comes in, introduces himself, comes back into the green room. Listen, I don't want any trouble here. I don't need any trouble. Whatever you're doing, I can't afford to have the kind of heat that you guys have on you. And you think for 1 second that in our heads we were thinking, boy, I'd really love to involve this guy. Hilarious. But that's the state of Canadian comedy right now is... Everybody's a little unstable. They're looking around like it's a fucking dog-eat-dog world. They lost JFL. They don't know what else to do now. So it leaves the mind to run around and find new ideas, new ways to make yourself noticeable. Because a lot of comedians in Canada, you know, it's a very conventional way. And I'm not about to dog any comic that wants to take that route. There is no real... concrete way of taking on this industry. There is no handbook. There is no apprenticeship. You know, some guys, they blow up in a year. Some guys in 12 years. It is just one thing that I'm learning about this game is you never know when you could catch a break. Yeah. But to think that, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, I'm really, oh God. Yeah. No, when we got here, I looked at you and I thought to myself, oh, who's this extraordinary individual? Boy, oh boy, what a nice gentleman. Oh, what a shame that we can't have you on a podcast, even? We can't do a podcast. You just seem like such an interesting person after meeting you for 10 seconds on swapping our names. Unbelievable. We are truly the NWO now. We walk into rooms and people get uncomfortable with us in there. But the shows were, great. I can't believe the distances that some people will drive. It's very humbling, if I'm being modest and honest. It's very humbling how far some of you gents will drive just to be a part of the shows, you know? One guy drove 8 hours last Sunday, so that way they could be a part of the Sunday evening show, and they took the night off. Super nice guys. I apologize, I forget your guys' names. I was planning on, you know, it was a long day. Monday was a long travel day. Holy shit, was it ever. We stayed, our flight out was at 5:30 in the fucking morning. And, you know, by the time you finish and wrap up the show and you're shaking hands and it's over and done with, you're looking at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So by the time you get out, it's midnight. And I'm about to make like, oh, well, you know what? It's about time you worked a fucking little. I'm just saying, like a long day of like a travel schedule like that. When you're flying out at 5:30, you got to be at the airport for like 3:30. You know, you do your check-ins, you get to your gate, you hang out, you have a coffee. By the time you're loaded up, you know, we're looking at like a 30-hour day 32-hour day by the time I got home. So you're exhausted. It catches up to you. Your brain just wants to fucking melt and seep out of your nose. That's how you feel. You got a throbbing headache. You just want to be home. And there's something about being overtired that makes you extremely horny, isn't it? There's something that when your brain is just fighting for sleep, that your dick just takes over and starts thinking for you, you know? And I'm not saying, oh, what the hell? That was a left turn. But I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden you're just thinking to yourself, like, pussy is just on your mind for some reason. I mean, that might not be for anybody or everybody, but maybe it's like a default setting once you go into like sleep deprivation. I don't know. I don't know the technical term, but all of a sudden you just start thinking to yourself like, boy, oh boy, I'd love a piece of ass right now, because that was the only thing that was keeping me awake. Sheer horniness. No coffee could ever do what horniness did to get me home. And I want you to know that if you're just, I have a feeling most men already know that, you know, for the young guys, if you're having to get through, you know, a bit of a stretch where you know you're not going to be sleeping for a while, which, get your sleep. Oh, God. You know, I'm a 33-year-old man. I shouldn't be trying to fucking keep up with the young dogs like that. But thank God for horniness to get me across the finish line and get me the fuck home, you know? You start thinking some very deceitful thoughts, very grotesque thoughts inside your head. Like this Amazon position. Have you heard of this Amazon position? You start looking at the Amazon position and being like, yeah, that's a good idea. Imagine sitting there like you're a little, what is that called? Baby's pose when you're in yoga. I don't know if you've ever done yoga before, but when you're laying on your back and your legs are back and you're like hugging it to your chest, and then the lady comes in and it's like she's fucking you missionary with your legs up. So then the cock will like slide into the V, right? And then she gives you like a humping, and that's the end. And you start thinking like that. Yeah, I guess when you're that tired, you're just like, yeah, I think I would fucking do that. I think I'd be hot as hell. And then you start thinking to yourself, once that horniness dissipates, you start thinking like, what the fuck was that? Well, what man wants his legs in the air? You know what I mean? What man wants his legs in the air while they're fucking? I don't think any guy should ever have his legs in the air while they're fucking. That's got to be like taboo. There's got to be like a commandment about that. It's some sort. To think to yourself like, oh, you know what I'd really enjoy right now while we're having sex here is having my legs in the air. Maybe one, so that way you could get the position. It's like a pool shot. You know, when you're playing pool at the bar, you always got to keep one toe on the ground. One foot needs to be grounded at all times when you're fucking. You know, you could have one foot in the air. If that gets you like an angle you're trying to hit, that makes total sense. But this is like straight up barroom pool rules. One foot off the ground, like one foot grounded at all times. It's like an MMA fight, you know? You got to have a 3-point stance. We got to know. Like there's no, you're off kilter, you're off balance. Something's weird here. You know, like when the jiu-jitsu guys are on their back and their legs are in the air. And nobody's in your guard. If you're in your guard, I get it. It's like a defense mechanism, right? Total. Makes sense. Now picture your old lady with your legs in the air. That's a horrible fucking sight. I don't think she'd be able to look at you like a man. I'd rather cry in front of a woman than to ever fuck Amazon style, I think. That just seems like a position that you just got to put to pasture. Like, imagine getting pegged in missionary. Imagine getting pegged in missionary. That's a defeating feeling, isn't it? And I know there's probably some guy, well, I've been pegged in missionary. It's like, yeah, how did you feel after that, though? You don't want to look into a woman's eyes. If I'm getting pegged, it's got to be doggy. I can't look you in the eyes if I'm getting pegged. That fucked me up. I don't want to see the joy that you're having fucking me in the ass. I can't see it. I will never, it'll be etched into my memory until the fucking casket closes. Even then in the afterlife, I'll be scratching my head about that one. Even if I can't bring memories, that one would haunt me, you know? It'd just be a ghost on a ghost, which I don't even know if it's possible. But there would be a constant reminder of that. And like, what, you know, you just have hot flashes and cold sweats thinking about it, even in the afterlife. I'd imagine there's got to be some bad memories you take on to that portion of whatever fucking realm that would be. Scratching your head thinking, when did, what, you know, like, this is why I had to quit doing cocaine. I started thinking to myself, fucking, I got to get pegged in missionary. I, you know, it'd be great right now is getting pegged mish and making eye contact. Poof. What a rough way to enjoy yourself. You know, what a horrible, oh man. I guess I gotta say, I kind of envy somebody that can just put that behind them. Pun intended, you know? But that's got to be, oh, Lord, that's hurting my head right now thinking about that. You got to get pegged. Do you, honestly, yeah, you have to get pegged doggy because you can't. You can't live like that. Your hole has to be point, like, eyeballs and assholes got to be pointing opposite directions. You know, you can't be eyeballs looking, you know, that's too much contact. You know, there's too, you're able to see the planet. Oh my God, that fucking the Amazon style. How did I get here? See, like, that's why you got to get your fucking rest in, folks. So you start having thoughts like that. That's why you got to get your sleep in. I know the doctor's like, it's good for your health. It's good for your mental health because, you know, you can't do that. And God bless horniness to get me to across the finish line. God bless it. Driving down the highway, looking at clouds, just thinking like, that looks like fucking Lena Paul's ass. Woo-wee. You know, it's not a way to live. It's not a good way to live. And that's disappointing, isn't it? But yeah, those guys that drove the 8 hours. Thank you. You know, a couple boys on the Saturday night show got a little twisted up, you know? You know, there is a major difference between a comedy show audience and a Danger Cats comedy audience. There's a tremendous difference. The fellas show up. And they want to get after it. You know, when you have a slogan, and quite honestly, when you got a slogan that's heavy metal, heavy women, heavy drinking, you expect it. I'd be a dumbass to sit here before you and be like, hey, show up here and be respectful. I'm trying to tell my jokes. You know, the boys are fired up. I get that. We're trying to, you know, we're trying to do give the best show. But for the most part, the dogs get down. They just want to have some beers, have a good time. They want to participate. And sometimes they participate a little hard. One guy was fucking puking all over the floor. I was like, Jesus Christ, these guys get after it. And that's, you know, that it's respectable. I want you to come out and have a good time. And sometimes that good time gets out of your hold, out of your grasp, out of your grip. And it runs to a land that you know, in a dark place you don't want to be. Sometimes, you know, you're knee deep in the piss. And before you know it, you're... It's over your goddamn earlobes. And you're drowning in that shit. It'll get you. You get snake bitten like that, boy. You get snake bitten like that. April 1st. April Fools, huh? April 1st, the carbon tax rebate. Is that what they're calling it now? The carbon tax, the carbon rebate, whatever it is. Who gives a shit? You get rebated. Because we're retarded, rebated, retarded, same shit, different pot. I don't know what the hell. But gas is going up 3 cents. What a treat. So now we got to go out in the highways and we got to protest and we don't know what we're doing. You know, that's the thing. We're back to protesting again. And you know, like, I got to say, a good political campaign just has a nice slogan. That's how Pierre is able to get the axe the tax. It sounds good. How do you disagree with that? Axe the tax. How do you disagree with that? How are you not out there? Yeah, excellent. Nobody likes to pay taxes. Nobody I know wakes up every day and they're like, I want to pay tax. Nobody wants to pay tax. What do you want to do? Accent. Why don't we make that a slogan? Great. You can fucking fool us. I swear we're getting dumber. Three words. And that can get the people out on the side of the highway with some signs. Like, that's going to make some change. You know, it'll make for a great headline. I'll give that. And it's tough. And because I want to be 100% wholeheartedly behind it on the movement that takes place. But at the same time, you're just like, what is it doing? Is it making anything happen? Because that's all it is. That's all we're doing these days is protests, protests. The news is just literally covering protests. Have you noticed this? Every day there's a new protest that the news has to cover. And then we find something else. And then we argue about what protest is right and wrong, right? We got Free Palestine. We got Danger Cats comedy protests. And then once those protests, after the hour and a half time slot is up with that, they move on to the homeless encampment being destroyed at Crab Park and Vancouver. And so the one thing that's commendable about conservatives protesting is they'll put in a decent shift. They're not moving on to the next. There is no other protest. It's just strictly the carbon tax protest that they're going on. There was fucking merch tables set up on the side of the highway at these protests. You know what I mean? Like, we've gotten loopy. It does nothing anymore. It's just garnering attention to something that we disagree with, and maybe that's like a new talking, but maybe you meet a new friend there. Maybe you meet a new friend at the protest, right? And you guys like start exchanging ideas, you know? Then it comes like, hey, you should come over for a beer one time. And then now you got a new friend that you can discuss some political matters with, you know? Maybe that's the positives. It's getting people out again and conversing with your neighbors, and we're discussing things. And now are we dividing ourselves further away from the other side and just kind of secluding ourselves like from this left, right, whatever, horseshit, however you want? Are we just driving a bigger wedge between one another when this happens? Sure. But at this point, who gives a shit? This ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. The violins are playing. The band's looking around like, oh, fuck. You know? You can't afford a house. You can't afford groceries. You can't afford rent. People are outdoors now. Regular people got signs up being like, I just need a hand to pay rent. That's all. Can I get a hand? I'm three jobs deep and I can't get ahead. Can somebody please for the life help me? And then this comes along and they're like, guess what? April 1st, new tax. Thank you. So you want to scream, you want to yell, but you don't know where and what direction. And then you do get that opportunity, like those folks that were, you know, these people that make the rules and regulations. And this doesn't pertain exactly to the carbon tax by any means, but Jody Giontek, whatever her fucking name is, who gives a shit? The mayor of Calgary, Jody, shows up to a Calgary Flames game to drop the puck. You know, the ceremonial puck drop, and the whole audience is booing her. And then you go on Twitter and it's like, this is absolutely disturbing that the whole... Nobody's happy with the political figures right now. Nobody is stoked when a politician shows up. Oh, God. You know? When a politician shows up to just a regular Joe Schmo event, that's how they should be treated. No one should like these people. Especially, like, let's be honest here. She's kind of a dork, right? Like, let's put drag queens on every corner. You know, drag queens should be doing the stop sign at their schools with their little kids, and they should volunteer for that. I don't know. That's not even true, but let's be honest. You know, they want the drag queens everywhere for some reason. They just want the drag, and whatever. Fucking Christ almighty. We're arguing about the drag queens. We're arguing about the carbon tax. We argued about you know, we got people that want a penis and a vagina, and we're trying to figure out if we should have to pay for that. You know, the migrants come on over, you know, the food banks. We got no food. We got no shelter. We got no clothes for you. You can come out here, and instead of, like, you know, remember how you were starving in that country that you came from? But it wasn't like you weren't starving that bad. You were getting by, you know, it wasn't horrible. But now you came here and like the climate was like bearable. You were warm, at least you could sleep outside. It was bearable. The climate over there was like you could survive in that climate. You know what you're involved in. And then you move over here and they're like, hey, guess what? Remember all that shit that we promised you? Yeah, ain't gonna happen. I'm sorry. I know this is deeply upsetting for you. And I know that we did lie to you. And we did say a lot of things that you thought were going to be true before coming over to this country. But I hate to break it to you. There's no food at the food banks. That's why they're fighting each other outside the food bank in Montreal, right? They were going to, you can beat the shit out of one another. We'll let you go. The police aren't going to do much. I mean, we fucked you over by bringing you here anyways, right? We're just increasing the population. We're going to lie to you some more so that way we can increase a voter base. For a certain political party. Do you understand what we're trying to say? Okay, well, this upcoming election, I just need you to remember this. Like, I'm going to write down two things, and then you just check the one box with this name on it. Okay, understood? Great. Do we have jackets for you? No. What we do have, though, is a hotel that you can stay in for a little while, but don't get too comfortable. Because you're going to have to get the fuck out at some point and figure this all out by yourself. I know, I get it. We didn't really explain that in the pamphlet. We just said, hey, we need you to come over here. But now that you're here, guess what? It's going to be a little tough to escape because we have financially strapped you to the point that you are either A, going to starve to death or freeze in our winters to death. In fact, you can't even afford a tent. So you know what? This has been fun. This has been fun. Thanks for joining us. Thank God. But then these politicians come out and they want to join the party. They want to say, hey, look at me. You know, they want that little moment. These people aren't heroes to anybody. You show up to a hockey game like Jody did to drop the fucking puck. I don't even know if I'm selling her or saying her name correctly. Who gives a shit? Okay. Who gives a shit? It's how the people treated her in that moment when she comes out and she's being booed. You know, it is exactly like, you know, you're at like a high school dance. If they still have those, I don't know, or a party, you're at a party, right? Everybody's having a good time. And this isn't like, this is one of those parties where it's not exactly all the popular kids. It's not exactly all the cool kids, right? But these people just decided to do their own thing over here. And I'm not saying that people that go to hockey games aren't cool, aren't this, aren't that. But I'm just trying to use this as an analogy, as something to make an example of. It's like the people that just want to be left alone, they're out doing their own thing, like a bush party, and then the cops fucking show up. And you're like, why are you even here? We are fucking miles away from town, and now you're out here. Well, we just had to come out here and make sure, and blah, blah, you know, and you're like, boo, you just want to boo. That's the reason why those people were booing the mayor of Calgary. What are you doing? We're trying to have a good time. We don't need your dumbass here. Beat it. They deserve to be booed. All of them. Stay out of our fun. Get lost. You know? You're ruining my Friday night. I paid an excruciating amount of money for these tickets in a shitty fucking arena to boot. You know? The Saddle Dome is a dog shit hockey rink. And the last thing you want is that night ruined because some dummy of a mayor wants to show up and wave at everybody. And then you got the people on Twitter and like, oh, this is absolutely disgusting behavior on the city of Calgary. Don't you think the things that they did to us was a little more disgusting? Don't you think like them making the rules that they did during that course of humanity, during that period of time, doesn't deserve a little bit of pushback? Oh, they're supposed to just walk. Oh, yeah. No, not a problem. No, we forgive you. You only stole 3 years of my life away from me, but don't worry about it. You can show up to the hockey game to drop the puck and not hear a single boo. Get lost. These self-righteous assholes that are on social media that sit on this moral high horse all of a sudden, you know, like, I can't believe people. You can't believe? People are starving. And you can't believe, you know, people are making decisions like, boy, do I keep the lights on or do I get $50 worth of groceries that I got to stretch out for, you know what I mean? Like people are penny pinching and I go, well, people can afford to go to a hockey game still. Yeah. And even those people are feeling the heat of it. Okay. Oh yeah. Well, let's increase still. You get a rebate coming here up. You get a little bit of a rebate. We're supposed to pretend like everything's okay. We're supposed to pretend like everything's a-okay. Money being thrown around all over the goddamn place. Hey, 50 billion here, 40 billion there. Oh, just give it to the Ukraine. I'm sure some shoe store over in the Ukraine needs new products inside there. You know what I mean? Like, didn't a lady pay for a tit job, for Christ's sakes, with money that was being delivered over to the Ukraine? Sounds like a hell of a war. Drive me nuts. You know, that's just how I feel. And that's like me. That's me. I'm an idiot, okay? I don't understand political science or anything like that. But when I view somebody like a politician getting booed at a hockey game, it registers to me like, yeah, that makes sense. But then you get these assholes that got to push their glasses up and look down on you and be like, I can't believe you would boo somebody like that. And it's like, yeah, I can. Nobody likes this person, but they're still showing up to the event to try and get some sort of praise that they think they deserve, you know? If I commit a crime, right? Let's say I commit a crime, I get away from it or get away with it, and I still show up at grandma's house for dinner, I would expect my family to treat me still in a certain way. You know, I wouldn't expect them just to be like all on board. Oh yeah, not a problem. He's innocent. It's all good. Do you know, in the back of your head, you still think like, this guy's a son of a bitch. He robbed a goddamn corner store of like the guy that we knew growing up this whole time. You know, he held this guy that we would go buy our Gatorades and all that nonsense off because it was the neighborhood convenience store. He held him up at the age of 28. You would still be like, yeah, that guy's a dick. You should say like, oh, heck, if you did that, you're an asshole. You should think that. And for anybody that doesn't, is it like, well, we got to be a little more compassionate. No. Look where compassion has got us at this state in the game, you know, especially towards politicians. Now, having compassion for the everyday, and like, I know this is going to set me up. What do you mean? You don't have empathy for anybody because you put out a... I know. Okay, hold on. Whoa. Nobody says I don't have empathy. Nobody says I'm not compassionate on what the, you know, everybody's got their own little way of going through life. Everybody has their problems. Everybody has their issues, you know, and you're allowed to be loud and proud about them. You can be quiet about them. You can put them in the closet. You can fucking put them, you can bury them deep down into your stomach and never talk about them in your life. You can be a closeted homosexual your whole life and hate yourself until you fucking die a slow, painful death because you just can't accept the reality that you want to get fucked in the ass missionary style while looking that person in the eyes. And that's okay. You know, I'm just saying for me, that's not for me. Okay. That's not for me. Now I do. I can feel like there is a fucking tense feeling wherever you go throughout Canada. You know, we're touring city to city to city. Right? And you can feel it. There is a tense feeling throughout the country. A lot of people are on the brink of it. You go walk the streets, you know, and that's what makes it tough for me to like hop behind some of this like Free Palestine stuff when our downtown cores look like fucking Gaza. It looks like dead bodies are just sprinkled throughout from fentanyl addicts just laying there. Dunzo. It just looks like bodies everywhere. We were just in, like, Ottawa's like that. Vancouver's like that. Edmonton, Calgary. You go to any downtown city and it looks like a fucking war zone went on. Or is happening. But we're, you know, and I get like the protest for it to, for a ceasefire or like, don't put any money over there. I get that portion of it. I do. I understand that. But then those proceeds and that money, why is that not going to rebuild? And I know this is the most easiest take to ever make. I know it's easy to make, but I ask myself, how come? Why? You can't bring that up because then it's like you're insensitive to what's happening in Palestine. But at the same time, it's like, well, now you sound like a conservative fucking loser. I was like, well, I'm just curious to know, like, how do we get this out of control? Nobody can afford housing anymore. Nobody can take care of themselves. So what do you, I definitely feel for these people that just want to escape. But then as these people escape, the burden is put on more taxpayers. It's like, oh yes. Like there's just layers of shit that just keep happening and it's stacking up and you want to just pull your fucking hair out. Because it's not like the law is on our side, you know, the law. Look at it. What did I, there was some crazy statistic that we brought up on this show earlier. Not in this episode, earlier episodes where it was like, I think it's like a total of 43 people commit, or maybe it's like 113 people commit like 80% of the crime in, I think, Victoria, British Columbia. I can't remember what city, but it was a, oh, I wish I had this stat right on the front of my head so I could give it to you and make you think that I am smarter than I actually am. But that is just not the case today. Unfortunately, that is just not the case today. But the law can't even... And then that leads us to some silliness like this. Like we're supposed to take the country even more serious. Court to decide. This is in the National Post from Sharon Kirkey. Court to decide if Ontario must pay for surgery to make vagina if patient also wants to keep penis. A non-binary Ontario resident is locked in a legal battle over public funding for a surgery to create a vagina while leaving the penis intact. This is the big discussion up here. In a lengthy legal battle that could lead to more requests for individually customized and unorthodox gender-affirming surgeries, an Ontario resident is seeking publicity, or sorry, seeking publicly funded surgery to construct a vagina while preserving the penis. I'm going to say that one more time. An Ontario resident is seeking publicly funded surgery to construct a vagina while preserving the penis. How does that even work? How do you have both? You know, the case now before the courts reflects a small but growing demand for a niche surgery for people who identify as non-binary, meaning neither exclusively female nor exclusively male. Oh my God. To critics, the procedures are risky experiments that illustrate how far off the rails gender-affirming medicine has gone and the excesses of consumer-driven gender embodiment. Our public health care system is at a breaking point and really needs to focus on procedures that are medically necessary. Pamela Buffone, founder of the Parents Group Canadian Gender Report, said in an email to the National Post, is this type of surgery healthcare? The patient will not be physically healthier because of the operation, which is likely to result in complications and the need for corrective surgeries and further demands on the health system. LGBTQ rights groups say such surgeries can profoundly improve a person's quality of life and reduce the distress and deep sense of unease from gender dysphoria. You know what? Put them in the wait list like the rest of us. You know, many of us are what? We're up to 9 to 10, 2 fucking 3 years sometimes for a surgery. I remember my grandfather. I think he waited 4.5 years or some shit like that for a surgery. So guess what? You can get in line if you make it across the finish line. If you've made it to the point where you can then walk into a surgery room to get this surgery. It is by no means on demand. There should be no demand for this, okay? People are waiting in line to fucking, you know, I think we're at the point where we're waiting 9 months to remove an ingrown toenail. So, I mean, get in fucking line like the rest of us. You know, we want equality. We want to be equal. Everybody preaches we need to be equal. We want equality. But then when you realize equality is just, it's not as exciting, it's not as appealing, then you want this special treatment apart from being regular. Being regular stinks, right? You want to be popular, you want to be famous, you want to be treated differently than the rest of the crowd. You need these special requirements and whatnot. And like, first off, how would that work? So you're going to have a penis and a vagina? I think my head spins when I think about something like that. Like, how does that even work? What does the procedure look like? How, if you have both, do you just become a self-sufficient machine at that point? Like, would you be able to fuck yourself? Would you be able to fuck yourself Amazon style? Now, if you can fuck yourself Amazon style, then now I'm listening, but I just don't want a lady to do it. Like, my legs were in the air, like, where does it go? On the hip? Why do you want both? Why would you want both? Is that to eliminate yourself from, like, having to go out and find whatever you're trying to chase down? Pussy, you know, or is it so that way you can get both? Like, if you tuck the cock and you, does it just go away? Are they both detachable? There's a lot of questions that I got here. And the fact that we're arguing on whether or not, like, this surgery, I say fucking, you know what? Pay for the first one. Make this a lottery. Make this fun. Buy tickets. Do something goofy that you'd see at, like, a fucking carnival. And just see what happens. What happens? Let's see what the first one looks like. You know, I'm curious. I'm a curious little George. I want to see what both of them look like. What are you drawing up there? You know, like, would this eliminate the fact that I would need, like, a partner in life? Like, would I just be able to just go fuck myself in my own little vagine? If I got both, do I get, like, can I flip flop? I you know, like, I guess we're learning that now. Like, you didn't just say you're a woman to go to women's prison. So, I mean, like, if you have, if you're a half and half, you know, a little, I can just feel myself slowly deteriorating as I'm thinking about this deeper. And, like, this is a conversation that we're having in this era of time. It's like, this is, people have to sit down and seriously debate on whether or not this is, like, worth funding, you know? Which is crazy. Fucking, what does Rouse always say? He, him, who gives a shit, you know? And now we're arguing, like, is this healthcare? Is this healthcare if you got a pussy or a vagina? You want to discuss these types of things. It's like, you know, and I know, like, this audience is just like, Jesus, dear Lord above me. So now they just want both. That sounds a little greedy, doesn't it? That sounds a little greedy. It sounds like you're trying to get the best of both worlds. It sounds like you're just trying to really, it really hurts my heart to say this, but it sounds like you're really being an asshole. Doesn't it? It sounds like you're really, really, really pushing your luck around here, trying to get everybody to pay for your little surgeries, doesn't it? It sounds like you're looking for a little bit of a special privilege and to be able to walk around with both. It has nothing to do with getting the surgery paid for, but what kind of privileges come with that? Then what's next? What's after that? Huh? I only want one titty. I want to be half and half, like a true half and half. The old Tim Hortons double-double. By golly me. I'm trying to imagine, do you put the pussy above the dick or below it? I'm trying to envision what that looks like. Does it just look like a winking eye with a nose? You know? Do you put the pussy sideways so that way you can, or do you go traditionally? Are you going to be a little bit more of a fashion? You make a fashion statement by having the first ever sideways pussy. And now I know, Chinese people beat them to the punch. First ever sideways pussy that has a cock below or above. That's the thing that I'm trying to figure out here is where's the placement look like, you know? Because if you're going Amazon style, I guess you got to go pussy below, but that's going to be hard. You know how a cock, you get a good hard cock, that's going to be huffed. You got to bend that sucker down. It'd be easier to go up and in if the goal is to just like fuck yourself. Now, I don't know what the point is to having a vagina because do you piss out of that thing? There's so many questions that I have that they just leave up in the air. What is the look? What does it look like? How do we see the drawings beforehand? You know? Aye, aye, aye. That's where the state of the world's in. Comment below on what you think. Do you put it above or below? And with that being said, thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast, and we shall see you next week. And be sure to head on over to DangerCatShop.com for tickets to all the shows and Patreon.com/DangerCat69 if you would like an exclusive episode or to support this show that you listen to every week. Remember, Patreon.com/DangerCat69. Support the show, ladies and gentlemen.